Reaper walked away from him. Paced. His mind went there again. If she's anywhere near me, Czar, I'm not going to be able to stop myself. I thought I had complete discipline. I had none. Zero. God, I could have hurt her. I could have killed her. She could be lying on that bed right now with her throat cut. He counted his heartbeats, waiting for Czar's condemnation, waiting for his brother to tell him he was a psychopath, and now was the time to put a bullet in his head. When Czar said nothing, when there was no expected conviction, he swung around and glared at him. "For God's sake, Czar, you know what I did. You know I killed Helena, cut her fucking throat when she had her mouth on me." He looked around for something to pound. When there was nothing, he crouched low to the ground and drove his fist as deep as he could. Helena was a sick, perverted woman who enjoyed torturing children. "That's not the fucking point, and you know it." Reaper sank all the way onto the grass and dropped his aching head into his hands. "I don't have sex. Never. I tell my body what to do, and it does it. I control everything. It isn't safe for anyone if I'm out of control. Even tonight, in those fights. I let ice and storm pull me off those pussies. I could have killed them, but I controlled how hard I hit them. I stay in control. Anya's alive." Reaper nodded. The moment ice and storm joined him on the road, they would have texted Czar his condition. He would know everything. "But that isn't any thanks to me. I kissed her. I kissed her, and something in me just..." He shook his head and pounded his leg with his fist, trying to marshal his thoughts. How did he explain to Czar what he didn't understand himself? "I lost it. I lost my mind. I was feeling things I'd never felt before. She opened up something in me, and I was crazy for her. I had to have her. I would have taken her right there, against the wall at your house. I had to have her. There was no controlling my cock from the first time I ever heard that laugh of hers, saw that smile. I watched her give a blanket to a homeless man, a blanket she needed. I couldn't stop thinking about her after that. When I thought about her, my fucking cock was hard as a rock. When I saw her, it was the same. At night, I'd lie on my bed and jerk off thinking about her. Didn't get any relief. In the shower, I'd do the same. No help. I'd walk around like that all the fucking time." Czar sat down in the grass facing him. "That sounds about right, Reaper. It happens when you find the right woman. Not to me. It isn't safe. I'm built a certain way now. They shaped me into a killer. I fight it. I control it. But I still am that before anything else. We are all killers. That's what they made us. But we're moving away from that life. No, you're moving away from that life. I'm still in that life, and you know it. I'll always be in that life. That's what she'd get in her bed. A fucking killer. And that's if she survived the next time I touched her. You have to protect her. Get her out of here and somewhere safe where I can't find her, because I swear I'd look for her. I'm addicted, and sooner or later I'd have to go after her. Either that, or put a gun to my head." There were so many things he wanted to tell Czar, things he just couldn't face about himself, things he was ashamed of and didn't want the one person in the world that he looked up to knowing. He was too ashamed. He would never be able to live with knowing Anya was somewhere in the world. He'd find her. She'd never be safe as long as he was alive. "Slow down, Reaper. You're getting ahead of yourself. Anya is safe. She's alive. The boys are watching over her while you get your head straight. You had sex with her." Czar made it a statement. "And she's still alive." Sex. Reaper wasn't certain he would call it that. He'd had sex with targets, with marks. He'd studied them, met them accidentally, seduced them, and killed them. He'd been an agent for Sorbakov and his government. Sometimes the women had been killers they couldn't take care of using normal means. Sometimes they'd been women targeting high-profile scientists or government officials. Always there'd been a good reason they had a target on their backs, but certainly not warranting the way Sorbakov had insisted the hits be carried out. That had been for his own pleasure. That had been because he loved to watch. It got him off. He was a sick, sick man. Tsar knew he'd been forced to go after any woman Sorbakov wanted dead, but he didn't know how sick the kills had been. What Reaper had given to Anya had been himself. Nothing to do with training, nothing to do with a depraved man like Sorbakov. That had been all Reaper and Anya. So sex wasn't what he'd had with her. He just didn't know what to call it. It's natural to want the woman you fall for, Reaper. Hell, I still can't think about Blythe without wanting her. 4 kids in the house, and I'm pulling her around corners, into bathrooms and closets. We sneak outside onto the roof. I can't stop, and I don't want to. That's the way it should be. What they did to us, what they taught us, that isn't natural. Wanting your woman, Reaper, that's a good thing. Reaper just shook his head, despair gripping his heart. His chest hurt. His stomach was tied up in so many knots, he wasn't certain he could have stood even if his legs would have held him up. He couldn't tell Tsar the entire truth without losing the man's respect. Wasn't it good? His head jerked up. Good? Fuck, Tsar. Never felt anything like that in my life. Never. That's why she's not safe. I'd find that woman no matter where she hid. That's why you have to protect her. The club needs to protect her. I'm asking for that. Did you even one time have it in your head to kill her? Even once? Before, during, or after? Are you even listening to me? Reaper hissed it, wanting to smash his brother right in the face, knowing it was really himself he wanted to hit. I wasn't thinking. I wasn't thinking about anything. Not killing, not protecting. I didn't even use a fucking glove. All I could do was get inside her, wanting to live there. There was no thinking, brother. None. Never in my life have I felt that. You're the one not listening to me, Reaper. You're so certain something terrible is going to happen that you won't take a look at what did happen. You had sex naturally with a woman of your choice. You didn't think about killing her. There was no fake seduction. The two of you lit the place on fire. You didn't pull out a knife and slit her throat. You didn't put a gun to her head. You didn't garrot her. You had a wild ride, and both of you survived. Reaper took a deep breath. The air was salty. He was beginning to feel the bruises now. His body was stiffening. It hurt, but it was a good hurt, one he was familiar with. The roaring in his ears was beginning to settle enough that he could hear Tsar. It helped that he'd been listening to the man since he'd been a toddler. Tsar was plain-spoken. He didn't sugarcoat things. If he thought Reaper was a danger to others, he'd most likely pull the trigger himself. Of course, Tsar didn't know the entire story, and Reaper couldn't bring himself to tell him. They'd lived through shame together, but some things were too terrible to share, even with Tsar. He spread his fingers wide, and his knuckles protested. The pain grounded him. He could take pain. He could dish it out. That was something he understood. Fire like he'd shared with Anya, wild and out of control, that was something terrifying and new. He thought he understood sex. He was an expert at it. They all were. They'd been taught every type of sex known to man, forced to learn, to be good, forced to be disciplined to resist it if needed. They'd never been taught what it would be like if the body responded naturally. What now? Now you explore the relationship with her, Reaper. You figure it out. That's what I had to do. That's what all the brothers will have to do when the time comes. Relationship. What the hell was Tsar saying? Reaper wasn't thinking beyond getting inside her again without harming her. Not a relationship. What did that even mean? No. Sex was where he was keeping it. That was all he could do. He was so damaged there was no fixing him, and a woman didn't stay with the kind of man he was. No woman could, let alone a woman like Anya. What if I... He couldn't bring himself to say, kill her, because the thought of that was so abhorrent he didn't dare let himself say it aloud again. He could have. I'm not a good man. Neither am I. Yet I have Blythe, and she's a good woman. I count myself lucky. Blythe was a miracle, but Reaper wasn't going to say that aloud. He'd said enough about his sins. Gotta go soak before I'm too stiff to even ride. Won't be of use to you when Code gives us the information on the ghosts. Then get to it. I have a warm woman waiting for me. Czar stood up and reached down with a hand to help Reaper to his feet. Take it slow. See where it goes. Reaper nodded. He wasn't promising anything. He had to think. Chapter 7 Anya heard the sound of the Harley long before it reached her. She was curled up, wrapped in the sleeping bag to stay warm, hidden in a circle of boulders. Thanks to Leslie, she had a ground blanket, and she'd swept off most of the rocks, but she was still cold. She sat up, listening, her heart accelerating. She'd recognize the sound of Reaper's bike anywhere. She had no idea how to interpret her feelings. The moment she heard the bike and knew he was coming for her, her treacherous body went crazy. It didn't matter that he'd treated her like a whore, using her and walking out without a word. She still remembered every single touch of his mouth, his hands and his cock. Best sex ever. More than that, when he'd kissed her, it had felt like he'd been staking his claim, telling her she meant something to him. Clearly she hadn't. Anya had replayed those kisses in her mind over and over, replayed him walking out over and over. She told herself she was a big girl. She'd known what she was getting into. She thought she'd come to grips with it and was prepared to face him when she went to work the following night. She would be professional. Behind the bar, she could do anything, even face him picking up another woman. Maybe. Either that or she'd quit and leave like he'd wanted. Her hair was braided in a tight weave. She reached for her bra. She was sleeping in his flannel. Damn. He'd see that and probably think she was trying to be clingy. He didn't hesitate or call out. He rode straight up the narrow trail leading to her little nest, as if he had a tracker on her. That was impossible. The egg-taking station was a huge place. Lots of camping sites. How could he possibly know exactly where she was? On top of everything else, it was dark. No lights, just the moon, and that was covered in clouds. Dark clouds. That should have given her a premonition. She extracted herself from her bag and pulled on her shoes, sitting on top of the boulder, watching him as he parked the bike. He didn't get off, or turn it completely off. He just sat there, waiting. She shoved the rest of her clothes inside the sleeping bag and rolled it tight. "How did you know where I was?" He didn't answer her. Instead, he reached behind him and pulled a jacket out of a compartment. She shoved the bag in and put the jacket on, then the dome he held out to her. She slid behind him, felt him wince when her arms went tight. Immediately she loosened her hold, using her fingers to bunch his jacket so she wouldn't have to put her arms around him. Like he always did, he grabbed her hands and brought them around him. She didn't know why she let him or why she got on his bike without a word. She did know he was going to tell her how he knew where to find her, that is, until the pickup truck that had been parked in the campsite just below her nest fell in behind them. He'd had someone watching her. Anya pressed her face against his back. She didn't know whether to be happy or upset about that. Upset because it felt icky to know someone had been spying on her. Happy that he cared enough to have someone looking out for her. Did that mean there was a good explanation for him going off without a single word to her? Probably not. It wasn't that difficult to say goodbye, see you later. No. Reaper was being Reaper, looking after someone working for the club. But he really was that jerk that screwed a woman and then just left her. They drove straight to the compound, the truck sliding into the parking lot a distance from them, closer to the garage. Two men got out, and in the light spilling from inside the truck, she recognized the two prospects who had been in the common room that morning. Had it only been that morning? When Reaper slid off the bike, he looked stiff, as if his body hurt. She frowned. "Are you okay? Were you in an accident?" He gestured toward the building, removing his gloves as he did. "Inside." She considered hitting him over the head with the helmet, but placed it carefully on the bike instead. Head up, she walked in front of him, feeling like a wayward child whose father had come and gotten her from the wild party. It didn't help that several of the club members were seated around the bar and some at the tables. They all looked up when she came in. Some smiled. Preacher greeted her. She nodded to him, but Reaper put his bare hand on the small of her back, under the jacket and flannel, and pushed her into the hall. She was very aware of his hand, so hot it felt like he melted right through her skin to her bones, sinking into her veins, deeper to her core. It felt too intimate, as if he had the right to put his bare hand on her bare skin. It shook her how much just his touch sent heat waves radiating through her body. She tried not to think too much about what was between them. She wanted him again. She knew that. She just didn't know if her heart could take it. She went to the room she'd had the night before, and he reached around her to open the door. Once inside, she turned and faced him, mostly because his hand had burned a hole through her entire back, all the way to her heart, and it was melting that as well. She couldn't afford for that to happen. As she turned, he flicked on the overhead light, and her breath caught in her throat. "Reaper! Oh, my God! Sit down. What happened to you? Were you in an accident?" "Nope. A fight. A few fights." Those blue eyes stayed on her face. "What the fuck were you doing out there again? You have some kind of a death wish?" She backed up until the backs of her knees hit the bed. "You didn't say anything to me, so I thought we were done. It's not like I can live here just because we..." She gestured in the air, uncertain what they'd done. Wild sex? Best sex in the world? What? What did biker babes call it? They'd fucked. It was over. He'd made that clear. "I told you it was done when I said it was done. You hear me say that?" She shook her head because he hadn't said they were done, and that just left her more confused than ever. "You eat tonight? Didn't your minions give you a full report?" "Babe, long fucking day. You hungry or what?" She shook her head. "Good. Strip."
"What?"
"Take your clothes off." "Just like that?" "I'm not so certain you're up to this, and without any talking or anything, I'm not sure I am. Can't kiss you because my lips are cut to hell. Can't talk because my cock is getting in the way. Makes it hard to think when I hurt like a son of a bitch. You shouldn't be so damn beautiful if you don't want me hard as a fucking rock when I look at you." She bent down to untie her shoes. He stood draped against the door, looking beat up, bruised, and swollen. But he was right. She could see the outline of his cock pushed tight against the fabric of his jeans. Even beat up, he looked good. He wasn't making a move to undress, and that worried her a little. She kicked both shoes off and peeled off her socks, stood up and pulled off his shirt. Her new bra wasn't as pretty as the lacy one he'd shredded, or the beautiful black one that went under the tee she spotted on the nightstand, but it was cheap enough that she could afford it. She wasn't taking chances with him tearing it off her, so she took that off, too. She had generous breasts. There was no getting around it. Just like her hips, she had those as well. She hesitated before turning to face him after putting the bra on top of his flannel. "Keep going." When she turned back, he had his jeans open and his fist circled his cock. Her breath caught in her throat. He looked sexy as hell standing there, still in his colors, fully clothed, with his cock out, stroking it slowly, his gaze burning through her. "God, you're so fucking beautiful it hurts." He sounded like he meant it, that he was in awe of her or something. A fresh wave of hot liquid dampened her panties. She pushed jeans and panties off her hips and stepped out of them. She was totally naked, and he was fully dressed. It felt decadent, sinful. She also felt vulnerable. She fully expected him to ask her to kneel down and suck him off, but he didn't. He indicated the bed. "Bend over the bed." She couldn't believe the way her heart began to pound so frantically, or the way her body had already started into meltdown. He hadn't kissed her. He hadn't touched her. Nothing. But she wanted him desperately. What was wrong with her? Sure you don't want to lie down? I could ride you, she offered. Body's too sore. Get your ass over that bed. Not going to tell you again. She sent him a look over her shoulder, moving to obey, but deliberately slow about it. He caught the nape of her neck and pressed her face into the mattress, one hand sliding between her legs. Fuck yeah, Anya. You're ready for me. He pushed her legs farther apart with his boot. One finger curled into her. Can't eat you tonight. Hungry for you, but my mouth is a mess. She didn't care, although his mouth had given her multiple orgasms. Right now, she just needed him in her. Deep. She pushed back. Hurry. You're always thinking you're going to tell me what to do. Not happening. He leaned over her, his body blanketing her, his mouth at the nape of her neck. She felt his lips whisper soft, then the erotic scrape of his teeth. More liquid heat. Her heart stuttered. Her belly did a slow roll. He kissed his way down her spine, his teeth gentle, his tongue touching her here and there, tiny dots that sent pulses to her clit. How did he do that? One hand swept down her back and over her butt, shaping her, as if he was memorizing her. Love your skin, Anya. Love the way it feels. Abruptly he straightened, and in one move entered her, just like that, hard, fast, pushing through her tight folds with no warning, just taking her, burying his cock in her sheath. Lightning seemed to streak through her. His fingers bit deep into her hips, and he yanked her back every time he plunged deep, over and over. The flames ate her from the inside out. She went over fast, too fast. The orgasm caught her before she had time to catch a breath, and she cried out, trying to muffle the sound, knowing they weren't alone in the big building. He didn't stop or slow to give her a chance to recover, to ease down. He just kept pounding into her, driving her high and tipping her over the edge again. She couldn't stop the shattered cry the second or third time. She didn't know if it was one continuous orgasm after that or if it was more, but she couldn't catch a breath, her voice a sobbing gasp, begging him for what she didn't know. All that fire pouring into and over her was too much. She couldn't think, only feel. Then it was building into something uncontrollable, and she tried to move away from it, tried to get out from under him, terrified this one would drive her insane. He gripped her harder. Let go. Let go for me. I've got you. She would have done anything he asked her. He was there, right there, and she gave herself to him completely. It hit, the wave bursting over her, sweeping her away, taking him with her. He gave a hoarse shout that sounded like a gruff version of her name, and then he lay over top of her, his heart pounding through his cock. She could feel him inside her. She closed her eyes and pressed her forehead into the mattress. They hadn't used a condom again. She knew better. What was it about him that made her lose her mind like that? She was definitely going to get back on birth control immediately. He pulled out of her, and she heard his zipper. She rolled over, sprawled half on and half off the bed. You're sleeping here. Tomorrow I'll show you the house, he ordered. She put her hands behind her head, forcing herself not to ask if he was going to sleep with her. Clearly he wasn't. He'd actually stepped back across the room, so he was against the door, watching her. There was something in his eyes she couldn't read, but it terrified her. This man was too complicated for her, too scary, too sexy, too everything. I need to know how much it's going to be to fix my car. That should be safe enough. You aren't going anywhere, I told you. You started this with me. I gave you the chance to leave, and you didn't take it. You stick it out until it's done. She sighed and sat up, feeling more vulnerable than ever naked, with his seed dripping down her thighs. I don't understand you.
What's not to understand? I don't like you putting yourself in danger by going out to that campsite. You don't have a gun. You're a woman alone. You're just looking for trouble. That was pretty much what Leslie had said, but when she'd said it, the warning had sounded a lot nicer. I don't have money yet for an apartment. Made myself clear.
If you'd made yourself clear, Reaper, I wouldn't have left.
I won't go back out there, but I still need my car. I'm not on birth control. I'll have to get on it, and it takes a month before we're safe. Condoms would be good. Maybe you need to carry them with you or something. You never take your clothes off, so fill up your pockets. We'll be golden. Your car is a shit car, Anya. It's held together with rubber bands, electrical and duct tape. There's no hope for that rusted pile of bolts. She laughed. It was an apt way of describing her car. She reached for his flannel and pulled it on. Those blue eyes burned over her. Don't like you covering up. You're covered up. Not nearly as beautiful as you. How did he do that? It was such an un-Reaper-like thing to say. Maybe I disagree with that. I think you have a beautiful body. He was covered in scars and tattoos, but she loved every inch of him. Not right now, I don't. You need the bathroom? She nodded. He was pressed against the door, one hand on the knob, as if he needed to run from her. He looked bruised. His knuckles were smashed, swollen and torn. One eye was already black. She stood up, clutching the sides of the shirt together and looking around for her panties. He opened the door. "What are you doing?"
"I need clothes to go down to the bathroom."
"What for?" He looked as puzzled as he sounded, like he thought she'd lost her mind.
"Reaper, anyone could see me walking around half-naked."
He shrugged. "It isn't anything they haven't already seen. It's common practice. No one thinks anything of it." She glanced out the door. His shirt did cover her. She followed him out, holding the edges of the shirt together. "It really doesn't bother you, does it?"
"Nope."
"It wouldn't have bothered you if we had sex and any of them walked up, would it?"
"Nope."
"Why?" "We were raised that way. Don't like locks. Don't like walls most of the time. You're my woman. They'll respect that. They'll protect you." He kept walking. "It bother you?"
"Did it?
It should. Because modesty dictated it should. Because society said he didn't respect her if it didn't bother him that other men might see her body. She would have let him have her against the wall of Tsar's house had a child not been close. What did that mean? Had it bothered her that much that she'd seen ice naked?"
"Not really."
He hadn't leered at her or made obscene gestures. He hadn't made it about sex.
"I don't know,"
she answered honestly. Anya stopped abruptly in the hall, her heart beating fast. "Do you share women?" He stopped, too, turning to face her, looking down into her upturned face. He was close, close enough she felt the heat of his body. "Any man touched you, even one of my brothers, especially one of my brothers, knowing how I feel about you, I'd kill them." He touched her face gently and stepped aside so she could go in alone. Anya closed the door and leaned against it. God, he was wonderful and terrible at the same time. They were raised together? Raised to have sex in front of one another? To be that casual about it? Yet, at the same time, he claimed he'd kill someone that dared to touch her? She was fairly certain he meant that as well. And what did it mean, the way he felt about her? It was maddening. She didn't care that he was waiting. She took her time, brushing her teeth, washing her face, enjoying hot water. She washed between her legs, wincing a little. If he wasn't waiting, she'd take a bath. But then anyone might walk in. When she was finished, she went out into the hall. He was gone. She sighed, tilted her head back, and hit it gently against the wall. So much for their great night together. She was taking a bath. He'd done it. Reaper walked down the hall to the common room. He'd had sex with Anya a second time. Fireworks had gone off, but not once had he had a compulsion to kill her. How fucked up was it that he had to worry about that? That he had to be elated that he didn't want to kill the woman who mattered to him just because he had sex with her? He'd been careful to keep her pressed against the bed, to not allow her to touch him, but he planned on experimenting a little. See what he could get away with. He wanted access to the front of her. Her tits were beautiful, and his mouth watered every time he looked at them. He had fantasies about her mouth around his cock, although he knew that was what had started the nightmares again. He'd heard her laughing in the bar. He rarely went into the actual bar. He always went in through the back door straight into the meeting room. That laugh had changed everything. He'd gone down the hall, curious to see the face that went with the laugh. Her back had been to him, and he'd watched her ass as she worked. She had a great ass, and suddenly, for the first time that he could remember, he was having fantasies about all the things a man could do with a woman's ass. Then he saw the front of her, those tits. They were perfect, definitely more than a handful, and nicely shaped. Then he'd looked at her mouth. She had the face of an angel, soft skin. Those large eyes made a man think about bedrooms. That mouth was made for pure sin. He never let his mind go there, not in all those years, not after the things he'd done, but it had, all on its own. Once he started down that path, he couldn't get the image out of his head. That led to the nightmares. That led to his sitting in the bar for over a month, watching her, listening to her voice, following her to the campground every night to make certain she was safe. He joined the others as they filed into their chapel. This was their private meeting room, the one where they held their votes and talked over any club business. Czar looked him over but didn't say anything. He could tell Savage was pissed at him. When he fought, Savage always had his back. When Savage fought, it was the other way around. This had been the first time he'd ever done it without his birth brother. "I've been looking into these ghosts the demons told us about," Code began. "I've got a friend, a hacker, one that's like me. I contacted her to see if she's heard anything about them. She said there's been whispers about someone paying big money for information on the clubs, looking for weak links, anyone with a gambling propensity, looking for anyone who can hack into various clubs' financials. They contacted her and tried to get her to work for them." "Your friend take them up on it?" Czar asked. Code shook his head. "Told them she doesn't ever take any work involving the clubs. Doesn't want that kind of heat. She did try to trace the source. It seems the Ghost Club originated in San Francisco. They weren't a motorcycle club, but an actual nightclub. A speakeasy originally, and then over the years the family that owned the building kept a small club open. The rest of the building is rented out for various other businesses, supposedly. They have ties in Nevada to gambling operations there." "A crime family? Are we talking mafia?" "Far-removed cousins. I can't see that they're in any way affiliated, but it looks as if two brothers got together with several friends and started a little operation of their own downstairs in the basement of the Ghost Club. They keep it small, very private, so the cops aren't tipped off. You have to have an inn to get in to gamble. Your best guess is these are the ghosts that took Hammer's wife?" Czar asked. "Right now, I'd put it at a good 80%. That's where we need to start looking," Code said. "And, boss, they're going after the Diamondbacks aggressively. My friend Cat hacked their firewall. Well, between the two of us, we did it. And they've got files on most of the presidents of the Diamondback chapters here on the Northern California coast, and all the officers for each chapter. They're looking for a weak link, and they seem to have found one. Although I'm not that far into their files to be certain. They need the right member, and they need the right president. Someone in love with his wife. Can we prove that?" Code nodded. "Oh, yeah. Easy. I've got it any time you want it. But it will take a little digging to get it all. Before we do anything, we need to get Hammer's wife back to him. Then, if any of the ghosts are still alive, we'll turn the Diamondbacks on them. It never hurts to show a little respect to the big club in the neighborhood. Steele, you want to pick a team and poke around? You've got 24 hours. We're on a major timetable here. These men play for keeps. They want the rep that will do exactly what they say. I don't need to tell you to keep it low-key. No engagement. They can't know anyone's looking at them. They might kill her." "No problems are," Steele agreed. "We'll find out how many, and hopefully where they're holding her. Any more business? Everyone shook heads, and then they broke up for the night. Reaper stalked out, Savage right behind him.
Don't do it again, bro,
Savage said softly. Reaper nodded. Savage nodded back. I'm headed for bed. Been up 24 hours, and I'm wiped. Thanks for covering my shift.
Absinthe and Transporter have him tonight, Savage said.
I got this bad feeling about the Ghost Club, Reaper. Don't know why, but it's sitting in my gut all wrong. Reaper didn't like that. Savage's premonitions often came true.
We'll keep watch over him.
Savage frowned. Don't know if the trouble is pointing toward him.
Blythe?
Reaper asked with some alarm. Savage shrugged. Don't know yet.
You handling this thing with Anya?
Trying to. Don't have a clue what I'm doing. Trying not to get her killed, but fucking don't want to give her up.
Then don't, Reaper. Hang on to her. The club has your back. I have your back.
Reaper nodded, but inside his gut knotted tighter. Anya deserved so much more than a man like him. If he had any decency in him, he'd get rid of her so fast her head would spin. Instead, he was trying to pull her in deeper. He made his way back down the hall. Under the door, he could see the light was out. He turned the knob, noting she hadn't locked it this time. She was learning. He hadn't pulled the privacy screen, and neither had she. Moonlight spilled through the window. Anya lay on her stomach, the beams hitting her back and the curve of her butt. He sank into the chair just across from the bed and tugged off his boots. His shirt came next. Then he peeled off his jeans. Every muscle hurt like hell. He stretched out his legs and leaned back, his gaze on her body. She had a fantastic body.
Stop staring at my butt.
Her voice was drowsy, a little amused. It washed over him like the breath of sin, a temptation he'd never be able to resist, not even now, when he was so tired he could barely hold his head up. His body didn't want to move, but it still managed to make his cock harder than titanium. He leaned his head back against the wall, his fist closing around his shaft. After so many years of total control, he was beginning to like the fact that his cock went rogue every time it was near her. Or he thought about her. It didn't seem to take much.
Can't help it. Love your ass. Gives me all sorts of ideas.
She turned her head to the side so she could see him. He was in the shadows, but the moon was spilling enough light into the room that she could probably make out his fist pumping his cock.
Are you always hard?
Apparently, around you.
Well, come to bed.
His heart stuttered, tripped, raced. Not yet. He didn't dare take that step yet. He had to be careful. He hadn't let her put her hands on him. He'd tested his reaction that first time in the hallway, when she'd tried to shove him. It had been a miracle that he had been able to let her keep her hands on him without triggering violence. He wasn't going to push it. Not yet. One small step at a time.
Go to sleep. I like sitting here looking at you.
You're jacking off.
That I am.
You're jacking off looking at my butt.
I am.
She smiled, but didn't lift her head. Kind of a waste.
Not from my point of view. Enjoying the moment. When I'm ready, I'm putting my mark all over your back. And that pretty little ass. Going to rub it in and let you wear me all day tomorrow. When you're working and I'm sitting there watching the men go crazy, I'll know you're wearing me on your skin.
She shifted just a little, folding both arms under her head. He could see the outline of her breast, the swell of the side.
I just took a bath.
That's good. You won't need a shower. I'll be there all day. I'm going to write on your back and ass, and that will stay there, too.
You're a little kinky.
You're just figuring that out?
That made her laugh. It was small but melodious, playing over his skin like the cool touch of fingers.
What will you write on me?
I've been thinking on that.
Her gaze was on his hand, watching that tight fist slowly pumping up and down. Her eyes on him made it all the hotter. He could feel the burn starting in his balls, a slow build-up this time. Reaper's woman, right across that sweet little ass. I have no idea why you can make just about anything sound hot, but you manage. Spread your legs wide. He waited, counted his heartbeats through his stroking fist. She complied slowly, and his cock jerked hard and leaked more fluid. He used his thumb to smear it. Put a pillow under your belly. It took 3 lazy pumps before she pushed a pillow under her tummy. That lifted her just enough that, with her legs spread, he had a good view. She was beautiful and damp for him. Slide a hand between your legs and get yourself off. I want to watch you. His mouth went dry when her butt muscles bunched and her hand slid between her legs. Her fingers curled in, and he heard her gasp. His gaze was riveted between her legs, watching her fingers disappearing, working, sliding in circles around her clit, and then disappearing again. His fist tightened, squeezing harder, jerking up and then down faster. She was so sexy. He'd never seen anyone sexier. His breath left his lungs. Her breathing turned ragged. His hips thrust, adding to the pressure in his balls. Her hips bucked. He couldn't take his gaze from her, his fist tight, pumping until pleasure was bursting behind his eyes, and he knew he was close, so close. He got up slowly, careful not to jar his stiff body, took the necessary steps to get to the side of the bed, the side her face was turned toward so she could see his every movement and he could see her expression. Bliss, pure bliss. That's what she looked like, a woman in the throes of passion. Flushed face, half-closed eyes, lips parted, her breath ragged. You close, baby? He hoped she was. She looked like it. I'm there. She nodded, unable to get the words past the waves that were overtaking her. He felt his release like a volcano rising, long ropes of white-hot liquid splashing across the small of her back and over her buttocks, whips of white claiming her body. That wasn't good enough for him. He wanted to claim all of her, not just her body, her heart. Not just her heart. He wanted her fucking soul, because he was damn sure she'd somehow captured his in that long month of watching her. Stay still, he ordered, and reached for her hand, the one that had been inside her. He pulled it to his mouth, deliberately sucking on her fingers, one by one, taking what belonged to him. Her taste was addicting. He loved that she just lay exactly as he'd asked, watching him, her eyes dark as he licked at her fingers. With his palm, he spread those white ropes all over her buttocks and back, caressing her skin, rubbing it in as if it was lotion. Then, with one finger, he wrote what he wanted tattooed on her back. Reaper's woman. Someday, I'm going to have ink tattoo my fingerprints like bracelets around your wrists, and this on your back where I can see it when I fuck you. Her lashes fluttered. You think you'll be doing a lot of that? He liked the tinge of amusement in her voice. He always listened for that note when she was bartending. She was brightness in a world that could be bleak and ugly. He always saw a light around her, spilling out from inside her. I know we'll be doing a lot of that. He rubbed his finger along her lips until she opened up and sucked deep. Her tongue slid along his finger, and his spent cock jerked again. Fuck. The woman would kill him eventually with her tempting ways. She smiled around his fingers, those long lashes veiling her expression. I'd say something about the condition of your body, all those bruises you have, but you wouldn't tell me how you got them even if I did. Told you, I got in a fight. There's more to it than that. If her tone had been anything but mild, casual even, he would have abruptly walked out. He told her as much as he was going to, and that ended the conversation, but he could tell she wasn't really pushing. He slid his finger from her mouth, trailed it down her chin to her shoulder, and then slid it under her arm so he could trace the side of that soft mound exposed by the way she was lying on the bed. You're going to sleep just like this, aren't you? Let me soak into your skin so you're wearing me all day. You really meant it, didn't you? The smile was in her voice again. That did something to his insides. Turned him to mush, and he didn't like the sensation. She was crawling inside him too deep. Places he didn't want her to go. Places where she might see things better left alone. Yeah, I meant it. He realized he had meant it. Just like he meant the tattoos. Just as he meant to keep her. The thought brought him up short. Abruptly, he turned away from her and caught up his clothes. Just the act of bending over to pick up his jeans and shirt, to collect his carefully folded cut, hurt his body. He needed another long soak in the tub. He yanked the door open and turned back to her, picking up his boots. "Aren't you coming to bed?" He ignored her question. He thought it was rather obvious he wasn't. He wanted nothing more than to lie next to her all night, holding her, watching her sleep. But he wasn't taking chances with her life. He was already a selfish bastard just for what he was doing. "You going to give me what I want?" He knew the question was far more than asking her if she was going to let his seed remain on her, or the tattoos, or the writing. He wanted to know if she could handle him the way he was, if she would even try. She eyed him as he stood there, holding his clothes in one hand, his boots in the other. But she didn't lift her head or turn over. She didn't get up and storm into the bathroom to remove every trace of him. He found himself holding his breath. He didn't have much to give her. He didn't know how long he had or what mistakes he'd make, and there would be a million of them. He had to find ways to know what they could and couldn't do together. He was asking for a miracle and giving her very little in return. Still, he wanted that miracle. He needed it. He stood in the doorway, naked, uncaring if the world saw him that way. Knowing he was naked and vulnerable in other ways, stripped down where only she could see with her sparkling, jeweled eyes. "What are we doing here, Reaper?" The question was a whisper. His heart clenched. "Told you, I say, when we're done. Not you. We're not done. We stay together until then." He saw her pull in a breath. He knew she didn't like that, but he didn't have much more to give her. Empty promises? He was a fucking killer, and she was an innocent caught up in his trap. He wasn't going to lie to her if he could help it. Her tongue touched her lip. "Another woman ends it, Reaper. I walk." He couldn't imagine, after all this time, that suddenly other women would become attractive to him. "I'll ask it again. You going to give me what I want?" Those green eyes moved over his face moodily, brooding. She must have seen something she liked, because she gave him a little half-smile that turned him inside out. "We'll see, won't we?" Her lashes drifted down. "Good night, Reaper. Soak in Epsom salt, and really hot water. It will do you a world of good. Wherever you go to sleep, it had better be alone." He stood there in the open doorway until her breathing turned slow and even. Only then did he turn and head for the bathroom and a long soak in the tub. Chapter 8 Reaper sat in the back of the bar, legs sprawled out in front of him, the neck of a beer bottle between his fingers. Absently, he rolled it back and forth. He had been busy all day and hadn't checked in with Anya deliberately. She was already ruling his thoughts, his mind, his body. He couldn't have her knowing that shit. She hadn't texted or called. He knew because he looked at his phone 1,000 times, so much so that the others were giving him hell and calling him pussy-whipped. He was. He didn't want them to know. Or her. He'd spent a good part of the day getting a couple of chairs and kitchen shit for the house. Ice and Storm helped him, but he was certain Czar sent them to ensure he didn't do anything else out of line, like drive off cliffs or fight 12 men. He was paying for that little indiscretion with a sore, stiff body. Anya was driving him crazy. She smiled at him a few times, flashing that bright, jerk-a-man-to-his-knees smile that
had his cock reacting, but she didn't give him more than that. He was beginning to think he was an idiot. He should have walked in, pulled her over the bar, and kissed her right there in front of everyone, so any badass biker walking through the door would know just who that woman belonged to. He might still do it if the place got any more crowded.
"You're looking good tonight, Reaper,"
Bettina greeted, coming to stand directly in his way, blocking his view of the bar.
"I'm on a break in 5. We could go outside."
He raised his gaze to her face. "Do I look like I want to go outside?"
"It's dark enough in here. I could take care of that for you,"
she indicated under the table. His body froze, and that demon inside him stirred. Darkness welled up, threatened to swallow him. He raised one finger and moved it sideways, indicated for her to move over. Something in his face must have tipped her off that she was in danger, because she took one step to the side, and then he could see Anya, his light. She shone there. Bannister, the old biker, said something to her, and she threw back her head and laughed. The sound was like a melody playing through his mind, the musical notes streaking through the black rage, the need to kill. Anya looked up suddenly, met his eyes, and sent him her little half-smile, that enigmatic one that told him nothing and everything. His muscles relaxed one by one. He breathed the need for vengeance, for self-preservation away. He knew his cock had to look like a monster. It felt that way. Anya did that to him without trying, and watching her half the night, wondering if she wore him on her skin, was driving him out of his mind. That little half-smile didn't give a thing away, but it looked as if she had a secret, a smug little secret. That kept his cock at attention.
"Don't want your help, Bettina."
He was blunt, but blunt might actually get her to listen. Nothing else he'd done had. She wanted to brag she'd had him. She wanted to go through them all. Even Tsar was on her list. She had been all over their president until he'd told her she'd be gone if she didn't leave him alone. Bettina paled, her eyes showing fear. Reaper knew he'd given off that vibe the others had warned him about. He couldn't help it. Sometimes the devil escaped, and then no one was safe. He reined his control back and brought the beer to his lips, took a pull, his eyes never leaving Anya's before he set it back on the table. Anya popped the cap off another beer and came around the bar, threading her way to him. He didn't like her out in the open on the floor. More than one biker thought he could put his hands on her. She slipped through them with practiced ease, leaned down to set the bottle in front of him, and put her lips to his ear.
"You need me to kick Bettina's ass for you? I can protect you if you need it, honey."
Her lips, petal soft, brushed against his earlobe. That soft little laugh accompanied her question, but he knew she meant it. She'd make Bettina want to quit. He caught the front of her tank in his fist and pulled her close. His hand threaded through her hair, and he took her mouth. He loved her mouth. The instant his tongue slid into that hot haven, fire erupted and they both ignited. He nearly pulled her down onto the table, but he managed to stay enough in control to just hold her still while he kissed her over and over. When he allowed her to lift her head, she smiled at him.
"I think that should just about do it, honey," she whispered.
"I'm pretty certain everyone got your message loud and clear."
"You do it for me? You wearing me all over my property?"
His hand slid down her back to cup her bottom. His thumb caressed her, brushing back and forth over the words that declared her his. She lifted a shoulder.
"Maybe."
She left him, walking back through the crowd of customers, head up, regal like a queen. He adjusted his cock, uncaring how many witnesses there were to what she did to him. He really couldn't drink 2 beers tonight. He might have to ride. Steele and the others were on their way back, and they'd be meeting as soon as they arrived. Hammer's wife only had so much time, and God knew what those men were doing to her. The ghosts Reaper had killed had been sick fucks. He didn't like thinking about any woman in their hands too long, let alone one who had been sick with cancer. He pushed the beer across the table, even though his woman had brought it to him. His woman.
He liked thinking of her like that. He liked that Anya was his. He was even beginning to like that his body responded to her of its own accord. Either that, or he was getting used to being in a constant state of arousal. He pulled his gaze from her and took stock of the room. The bar was as packed as it was on weekends, because a small motorcycle club had come into Sea Haven, headed up to the Redwoods, and quite a few other small clubs joined them. They stopped to check out the bar and liked what they saw. Maestro jammed sometimes on Thursday and played shows on Friday and Saturday, when the urge hit him. Although it was rarely scheduled, quite a few of his local followers liked to come in on Thursday to catch him playing. Reaper took in each person, man or woman, in the bar. He always did when he was there. He sized up each individual and appraised the threat level to Czar, and now Anya as well. Aside from the obvious bikers, there were three strangers sitting at the corner table opposite him that didn't seem to belong. They kept to themselves and stayed quiet, drank very little, just enough to keep Bettina going back to flirt with them. They weren't quite in the shadows as he was, but they'd chosen their table carefully. He kept watch on them. They didn't seem to look at anyone too long. They mostly put their heads together and talked in low voices, but he noticed they were very flirtatious with Bettina, and very generous with their tips. One slipped his hand around her thigh and rubbed. She leaned into him like a cat, putting a hand on his shoulder and allowing him to move his hand a little higher. Twice she glanced back at Reaper, as if to see whether or not he was watching, or to talk about him. He kept his legs sprawled lazily in front of him, and his eyes hooded so they couldn't get a lock on whether or not he was watching them. Bettina knew better than to talk about the club. She was a lot of things, and she liked playing games, but she wasn't into betrayal, not at any price, not that he could see. He glanced up at the camera, and then tapped on the table. 3, 2, 3. He did it twice, as if he was tapping to Maestro's music. He didn't like puzzles, and those men were a puzzle. Code had equipment and access to databases most government agencies would kill for. He was that good. They'd have the identities fast. He eased his hips forward to keep pressure off his ribcage. He'd been an idiot to fight when they were trying to get Hammer's wife back. He needed his body in good shape. It wasn't. The fists had torn open the laceration in his side. He hadn't bothered trying to neatly put the edges back together. He had just bandaged the wound. He was a fast healer, and he had that going for him. That and his body knew how to take punishment. He had been taking fists, bats, whips, and knives since he was a boy. That didn't mean he wasn't sore, and he shouldn't have indulged his need to inflict pain as well as take it. Bettina came to his table to collect the empties. This time she didn't make the mistake of putting her body between his and Anya's. "I didn't know about you and Anya, Reaper. I apologize. And I'll apologize to her. She's my friend." She kept her voice low and her eyes downcast. She placed a new napkin directly in front of him and walked away. Reaper wasn't surprised to hear Bettina call Anya her friend. Anya, he was finding out, was well liked by just about everyone. He glanced down at the napkin. "They're asking questions about the club. I gave them the standard, 'not my business,' but they're persistent. What do you want me to do?" He didn't want her to do anything until he knew what they were dealing with. Bettina liked to fuck bikers. She liked the parties and the life, but she also liked the protection they afforded her. She didn't mind men putting their hands on her. She loved the big tips, but she wasn't about to trade the club for any of those things. She'd walked off, making the rounds of tables. He held up his hand to indicate to the bar he wanted coffee and jerked his head toward Bettina. Anya got the message immediately. That was another thing he loved about his woman. She didn't know the first thing about their world, but she picked up on things. One time was all it took, and she learned. She called Bettina over, pushed a mug of steaming coffee toward her, and indicated Reaper. Bettina hesitated, and then said something soft to Anya. Anya nodded once, solemnly, and then flashed a smile at the waitress. It was her bright, radiant smile,
the off-the-charts one that sent desire snaking through his body. She'd just forgiven Bettina for trying to encourage